Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I am DJ Impact. I got a few of the bad boys here with me. Sin City Steve, what's up?
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Good, good, man. Living that good life. King Lucky, what's going on, man?
I don't know if I've been naughty or nice this year. Okay. But we're going to find out on the last episode of the year.
I'm scared.
All right, all right, all righty. We got Matt Michaels with us. What's up, man?
Oh, simple answer. You've been naughty as shit, so you're fucked.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. We got the fellas here via Skype. We don't have Simon Street with us tonight. But we want to start off the show again by thanking everyone for coming to our live show at Boulder Station. It was an exciting time, fellas. What do you think about it? What was your take on all the excitement that we had this past Thursday?
Man, you had Remy Marcel and Ice Williams cut some scathing promos on each other, and then they did everything they said they would do. They backed it up at the FSW show, and man, it was good time. Sandra Moon was an excellent co-host. Mm-hmm. And we hope you guys enjoyed her as much as we did, and we hope to have her back soon on the show.
Yes, and if you haven't got a chance to listen to that show, it's available for download, so just go check it out and listen. Great times. We're going to even have better times next year when we're doing it all over again with the live shows, and we invite everybody to come out and just hang out with us. It's a free event, and it's at Boulder Station Hotel and Casino. So make sure when you hear us promote it, you make plans to come out and hang with us. With that,
and go ahead. The first one is going to be
okay.
February 5th, which is a Wednesday at 6 p.m. At the Kicks Lounge, Boulder Station, and the guests are going to be two very familiar names, and it's going to be a pretty good time. So
yeah,
keep your eyes on social media and keep listening to find out who's coming and how you can be a part of it. Just show up for February 5th at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it's going to be a fun event. Remember, there's no cover charge.
Right.
So you don't have to pay to get in this at all.
Yep.
I mean, shit, I'd charge fucking Simon Street to get in, at least. But no charge. Even he gets in for free, man.
That's true. And, you know, normally when we have our shows, there's enough seating to accommodate everyone who come to the show, but I'm pretty sure that this show that's going to be happening in February, it's going to be very difficult to find a seat. And so you want to make sure that you make plans to be there on time, and just prepare to have a good show. So we got it down now. It's Wednesday, that's February 5th. Right, Michaels?
6 p.m.
There you go. So let's get into our three count for tonight.
It's time.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
One, two, three.
Count Talk.
Count Talk, baby.
We have three great topics, and one of the topics actually came from one of our listeners, Matt from Ohio. And remember, anytime you guys come across any stories that you find interesting, definitely hit us up in Messenger or IG, send us an email, and just send us a link to the article and let us know. And you never know when we may go with your story. So Matt actually found this from SportsSkeeda.com. And the title is Sixth Hard Truth That Pro Wrestling Fans Need to Accept. And the question pretty much is, do you agree with all six of these, or would you remove one? So let's go over the six, fellas. Again, six hard truths that pro wrestling fans need to accept. Number six, all elite wrestling is not going to put WWE out of business. Number five, Impact Wrestling had lasted longer than WCW or ECW. Number four, John Cena will go down in history as the top wrestler of the 2010s. Sound like a lot of noise going on back there, brother. Number three, Baron Corbin is a decent wrestler. Number two, getting over with the fans is more important than technical wrestling skills. And number one, Brock Lesnar is the biggest star in pro wrestling today. And again, these are six hard truths that pro wrestling fans need to accept. Let me start with you, King Lucky. Do you agree with all six of these, or would you remove one? Maybe even add one, but you agree with all of them?
No, I don't agree with all of them. I think from the outset, you couldn't believe that AEW was going to put WWE out of business. There's just no way,
unless you're an AEW fan.
Jeez, there's the zinger for Sin City Steve.
I will wait my turn.
Yeah, I happen to be a very big fan of AEW. I was excited for them to come on the scene. But at no point was I in the fantasy that they were going to put WWE out of business. Mm-hmm. Some of the other stuff on the list, I definitely think is, something I would agree with. You've got things like Impact Wrestling has lasted longer than WCW or ECW. But you've seen Impact Wrestling in so many different iterations. Good for them. They've been able to maneuver and pivot and stay around. The fourth one on that list that you counted down was John Cena. With no question, will go down as the top wrestler of the 2010s. He kind of ties into that second topic where getting over with the fans is more important than technical wrestling. Because John is not a technical wrestler. But as you know, he's added layers to his game. And so you've seen him get a little bit more versatile. Number three, Baron Corbin. I've always been a fan of Corbin, even though it took him a while to kind of find this groove. He's Vince's boy. A little bit different from what I can say with Vince's other boy, Drew McIntyre, who seems to he can't find his way. They kind of pushed him and pulled him and pushed him and pulled him. Finally, the last one with Brock Lesnar being the biggest star. I mean, the guy, for all intents and purposes, is bona fide in, UFC or mixed martial arts. So it's understandable why they made him the benchmark. And why they made him the guy to beat. And so, he's the biggest star in pro wrestling. I mean, even though he works a part-time schedule, people pay to boo him or, you know, pay to see him destroy somebody. So I think the list was on except for All Elite Wrestling putting WWE out of business.
I will say, I don't know if I quite agree with you on your take on Drew. I guess Drew probably isn't. I don't know if you're saying that he should be on the same level or even pass Corbin because he's Vince's boy. I think Drew is handling his own well on Raw. I mean, I don't know what the expectations were, but as a heel, I mean, he's practically undefeated. I mean, outside of, I think, maybe losing to Roman at a pay-per-view some time ago, maybe a year or whatever. But, I mean, he holds his own pretty well. So, I don't know, unless they was...
What brand is he on?
Drew is on Raw.
You're positive.
Ooh, McIntyre?
Yeah.
Is he not on Raw?
Well, see, I'm just making a point here.
Okay.
It's because you just second-guessed yourself because you don't see Drew McIntyre enough to even know if he's on Raw or SmackDown.
I don't second-guess. I knew he was on Raw.
Yeah, but I made you second-guess it.
Okay, so, I know that's the whole entire topic, but so in that case, you're agreeing then with King Lucky then that I guess he hasn't shined as Baron has shined. So what, does Drew have to
No, I don't fucking, I'm not agreeing with him with jack shit. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
No, it's a simple thing. First of all, I don't know how Drew McIntyre just got into this conversation.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Fucking Lucky just goes off and all of a sudden it becomes about, you know, Drew McIntyre versus Baron Corbin. The fact of the matter is that how the fuck is Baron Corbin Vince's boy? The fuck is that? I'm pretty sure he thinks that that's Drew just by his size. So I think that he's just confused. He is an old man, by the way. The next thing is Baron Corbin absolutely is not a fucking good wrestler, you know, in terms of building up, you know, a certain repertoire of moves and stuff. But, you know, he's getting heat because people don't like to see him.
Right.
Right. Very, very simple. And he's you know, trying to get a little more comfortable in giving his promos, which he's growing. But once again, that fucking smark over there, Mr. King Lucky. Oh, I've always been a fan of Baron Corbin. Oh, yeah. Go back and listen to the fucking tapes. Oh, how could he beat Kurt Angle?
I still maintain he shouldn't have beat Kurt Angle.
Yeah, whatever. Blow it out your ass. One minute you're like, oh, I love him. Then it's like, I hate him. Then it's like, well, I love him. I mean, you're like, Jesus, like a fucking whore in heat, man. You just rub it against everything that might get you off.
Well, while you got the mic, Michaels, tell me, what's your take on these six hard truths? Do you agree with all of these, or would you remove one?
Okay, so Cena, it's great. I think that's true. Although it's like these people writing these fucking things. Cena, for to call him the 2010s,
yeah,
it doesn't really add up. I mean, he wrestled maybe what 5 years, you know, full time, and then so I mean, he has the impression during the 2000s, but I wouldn't say necessarily 2010 itself, mm-hmm. to you know, to 2019. I think that you might honestly have a case to be made that AJ Styles was the best wrestler of this decade.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an arguable point. Is he seen as level in terms of, you know, popularity? Is he, you know, a rock or whatever? No, but, you know, it's either AJ or possibly Jericho, you know, as the best of the past decade, I'd say. But the AEW thing, yeah, of course, it's just ridiculously dumb in terms of beating, putting them out of business. I also think, what the fuck is this all about, putting them out of business in general? Like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Why would you want a company to go out of business, you know, especially a company that's been around for 40 fucking years? It's just dumb. And, you know, if they're going to make their mark, it's going to take them more than, 4 months? You know, come on.
Right.
Ridiculous. And then, you know, Lesnar? Nah, Ronda Rousey is the top name in that company, period. And it's based off of her name. Same with Lesnar. If you're going to put him up in popularity, sure. But the fact of the matter is that it's because he was in UFC. Which, you know, gave him more exposure than, you know, the normal superstar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is he really the you know, the top person? You know, you really got to look at, honestly, probably someone like Rollins or Reigns, because they're there all the time.
Right.
So... You know, and you can't base it on, it's hard because you can't base it on popularity in terms of popularity being a transition into mainstream pop culture, you know, because those guys haven't done that yet. They haven't broke through yet. Yeah. But, you know, Brock Lesnar, people know his name because it's associated with UFC. What else has the guy done? You know, so I don't know. I just don't think that's right. Ronda has a bigger name than Brock. What's that final one, DJ?
Well, there's also getting over with the fans is more important than technical wrestling skills.
Well, yeah, that's a fucking, yeah, that's so stupid. Like the point of professional wrestling is storytelling, and it's a fucking soap opera, and yeah, whatever. Isn't there one more?
Impact Wrestling had lasted longer than WCW or ECW.
Yeah, so congratulations for putting on a list something that is just like, it's just, come on. It's like, yeah, they've outlasted. Okay, that's period. Have they been more impactful then? No. There you go.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
It's total nonstop action with me, man.
Ooh. Sin City, man. Wow. I mean, All Elite Wrestling is not going to put WWE out of business. Take it from there, sir.
Well, definitely, man. And the thing is, obviously, I've earned the reputation of being the resident AEW mark on the show, which I'm completely fine with. But the fact of the matter is this. Never once did I look at AEW as being anything that would kill WWE or put WWE out of business. From day one, I've said that that the founding of AEW was great for the business because it would add an element of competition. And dare I say, that has happened. We need to look no further than the Wednesday Night Wars with NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the proof is in the pudding there. But I never once thought that AEW would put WWE out of business. And if anybody has thought that, they're fucking delusional and they need to get a grip on reality.
Mm-hmm.
Impact Wrestling has lasted longer than WCW or ECW. Awesome. Congratulations. Way to not suck so much that you fucking close up shop. Yay. seriously, though, you know, the joke has been made that Impact Wrestling is going to last you know, just as much as Twinkies and cockroaches. Oh. They're going to be the only things that survive the nuclear holocaust. But, I mean, realistically speaking, they've been through a lot. They still continue to keep on plugging. So, hey, you know, props to them for that. John Cena will go down in history as the top wrestler of the 2010s because by the time it's all said and done, long story short, people, they forget dates. And he is the last homegrown WWE talent that has made that much of an impact. And, you know, obviously we'll talk about Lesnar here in just a second. Cena will go down as the top wrestler of the 2010s. And that is for mainstream fans, casual fans, people that, you know, aren't hardcore into the business, that, you know, don't read the Observer and, you know, listen to a ton of audios, and they're not extremely, you know, smartened up, as it were. They just want to see a good show. John Cena, yeah, he's the last major recognizable name. Because you think of Brock Lesnar as part of UFC, even still. Baron Corbin is a decent wrestler. I do have to, because this is the last show of the year, I have to say that I bagged on Baron Corbin a lot this year. But I said that I would give them props if they did one thing in particular, and I haven't ponied up to it, so I'm going to do that now.
Okay.
Thank you, and great work by WWE Creative, King Corbin, whoever's idea it was to bring back the plebeian throne that he comes down to the ring with the four jobbers that carry him down to the ring. That's fucking awesome. I loved it when Savage did it. I loved it when they had the poor bastards carry Mabel's 600-pound ass. I love it now. I think it's just fucking great. So, whatever. He is a decent wrestler. He's not a good wrestler. He is a decent wrestler. I think that he's continuing to work on bettering himself, and I think that, you know, he's made a lot of steps in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And that's not anything that we really have focused on, or at least given its due. So,
and speaking of given its due, I'm going to say right now, Lucky, no, you did not suggest that they do that. Because you're about to take credit for it.
What?
I predicted that.
Wow. Yeah.
Getting over with the fans is more important than technical wrestling skill. Again, it all depends on through the eyes of whom. If you're looking at casual fans, without question, we, again, to tie it back to an earlier topic, AEW. We brought up the fact that they can have the best technical wrestling on the planet, but if they don't have fans make emotional connections to their characters, they will not succeed. We said that a few episodes ago. That holds true. But it all depends on what you're looking to get out of your professional wrestling. If you are looking, you know, if you are those people that read the Observer, that, you know, are the quote-unquote smart fans, then you might find some umbrage with that, that technical skill is more important than getting over with the fans. But if you're a casual fan, definitely not. So that's something that, it all depends on what lens you view professional wrestling through. And then lastly, Brock Lesnar is the biggest star in pro wrestling today. Matt Michaels, a lot of people still don't think of Ronda Rousey as a pro wrestler. They barely think of Brock Lesnar as a pro wrestler. The thing is, I could see where both of their names are at the absolute top of the industry today, and it's indisputable evidence with Lesnar. Call it what you want. He's been on the top of the card every year at WrestleMania, and every year they've been selling out stadiums. And it's one of those things where they're jamming 80,000 people into arenas, or, you know, in the case of the WrestleMania in Texas, over 100,000 people. Obviously, he's at the top of the card, so he has to get some sort of love with that. Ultimately, I find it really interesting that those two names are the biggest stars, and I think that there has to be a correlation with the UFC adding a layer of legitimacy to their careers. Because obviously, if they were, you know, if Brock Lesnar would not have gone to the UFC, his star would not be as high as it is now, without question. So that has to be looked at, and you know, maybe the casual fan, they see the people that have been in UFC and that have held championships in UFC going to WWE, and it adds more legitimacy to them as a brand. So there you go. It's well deserved on that end.
All right. Well, that takes care of our first count. Let's go into our second count. And this is from CBR.com. And they had a article that was titled, WWE has the best talent pool ever and continues to waste it. And I'm going to name just a few names that they mentioned in this particular article. And what we're just going to discuss is, are these names that I'm mentioning here, are would you say that these are wasted? This is talent that is WWE is wasting. Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Apollo Crews, Mike Kanellis, Heavy Machinery, and Candice LeRae. I'm going to start, let me start this time with you, Matt Michaels. Would you agree with those names there that they mentioned of WWE has the best talent pool ever and continues to waste it? And those are the names that they gave. I mean, you probably could have threw other names in there as well, but they specifically named them. So let me let you start that off.
All right. So first of all, again, shout out to the genius who fucking wrote this, because that person gives descriptions under the names of each of these people.
Right.
Except for Candice LeRae, in which he just wraps up his article and totally fucking just, I mean, it's just like she's just, her picture's there, her name's there.
Right.
But well, what the, why is she there?
So, right.
Kudos to you fucking great analysts and journalists out there. Good for you people. I mean, you know, it's almost ridiculous to argue, you know, are these people underutilized? Because fact of the matter is that, you know, you're going to gravitate to say, yeah, Sami Zayn's underutilized, or Shinsuke, you know, you're going to tend to say it because they're good performers, right? But then you get Apollo Crews, who, honestly, at this point, give him his release. Because, I mean, do you really seriously think, oh, yeah, Apollo Crews, man, I can't wait to see it. Wait, you just never see him. He's never there. They've tried things with him. He's never made, you know, that definite impact. Let him go elsewhere. Let them go, you know, and again, get the seasoning somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. I think this article implied that the WWE is locking up talent just to lock up talent.
Yeah, it did say that. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I mean, that's an arguable point, again, because the fact of the matter is what is the guarantee that a Mike Kanellis is going to, you know, get a better contract with AEW? Or, you know, let's say AEW doesn't want a Mike Kanellis.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't see anything in him, right?
Right.
So then you're talking, I mean, what are you going to get at, you know, Ring of Honor or Impact? You know, you're kind of going down the rung. So, yeah, you might be underutilized, but again, it's a television show. So they can, you know, you can only write for so many characters, and then, you know, you get something, but it's story that you might not like. And people like, even Lucky don't like the story with Mike and Maria. But it's something. Right. And then you ask for your release, you get all pissed off after you just signed an extension recently. And so you disappear. It's just like, truly, this, it's just kind of, you can argue that almost anyone's underutilized, except for Roman and Seth and, the top guys.
Yeah. Sin City Steve, when you saw this list of names, did you agree with all of them, or did you say, well, we probably could add more to this list? What was your take on this particular article?
Well, I think that, yes, for most of them. Honestly, I see Heavy Machinery as being mid-card comedy tag team. And last time I checked, they're a mid-card comedy tag team. True. So they're being used properly.
Right, yep.
Mike Kanellis is an upper mid-card talent. He is being underutilized, for sure. I think that he could be used better back in Ring of Honor, where he, it clicked for him. Apollo Crews, I agree. He needs to be released. Mm-hmm. Let him do his thing, and let it all go on the indies. I mean, he would be somebody that would be good in AEW. Yes, I know that it's cliche, blah, 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 mm-hmm. but I think that they would better utilize his talents there. Nakamura in New Japan was lightning in a bottle. The guy was so charismatic, and they let him run with things. I am encouraged that they've partnered him up with Sami Zayn. I think that pairing has actually been very, very solid. I'm happy with what they're doing now.
Yeah.
But I think he could do more without question. I mean, if Vince didn't. And obviously there's the whole thing of, Vince wants his main characters to speak English in their promos, blah, 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 whatever. And, you could always go back to people like Yokozuna that had Mr. Fuji with them, who held their world championship.
Yeah.
But whatever. That's another story for another day. I think that Nakamura would prosper more in New Japan, but I am very I am very optimistic what they've been doing with him lately, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Candice LeRae, I see her as being, one of the higher end women's wrestlers in the world, but she's serving a role right now down in NXT. Yes, they could do more with her, but at the end of the day, Gargano's and on that roster as well.
Yeah.
So you have to look at it not just from how we, the fans, think things should be. That's how all this stuff should be taken, with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
I think that she is the potential's there for her to be moved up the card very quickly. I like the fact that, what they've done with certain things to do with that women's championship. I'm sure we'll talk about that. So I have no doubt that Candace's time is coming. So yeah, she's not been in the WWE roster for very long at all. So that's something else that everybody seems to forget.
Yeah.
I think that it's easy to point the finger at WWE because they're the big baddie. They're the, they're the evil empire, and I do it. I'll be the first one to fucking admit that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they're managing a talent roster of 100 people. And it can be very daunting, very difficult to ensure that everybody gets their proper usage. But at the end of the day, they as a company cannot be vindictive. They cannot be signing guys and gals just to sign them, and you know, in the hopes that no one else would sign them, that kind of shit. So that's kind of both sides of the debate, but that's where we stand on that. I don't know. We're in for an amazing 2020. I really can't wait to see where all these people shake out to. Mm-hmm. I know that Nakamura, I believe, is in a contract year. His contract should be up in February, I believe, unless he signed an extension of some kind. But yeah, some of these guys could be coming up on contracts. So we'll see where these people fall as this year ends, and where they migrate to, if anywhere, in 2020.
King Lucky, I see we're running out of time, but I want you to get in on this. Your fellow Bad Boys think they should just go ahead and kick Apollo Crews out, man. What's your take on him and the rest of the people on this list?
Well, you know, I kind of, when you look at this list, I'd agree with them releasing Apollo Crews because it's clear that they don't have any direction for him. They start and stop a push for him. He gets over for a little bit. Everybody knows how talented he is and his gifts, but they just don't have anything solid for him. You know, and part of that has to be, too, some of the onus would be on the talent. What are you pitching to, you know, the writers, or are you pitching stuff to Vince? And Alexa Bliss was just talking this week about how she knew she wasn't in the title hunt, so she pitched for her to work with Nikki Cross. The other wrestlers that are on this list really shouldn't be on this list except for Mike Kanellis. Because as was stated before, Sami Zayn is in a good spot right now, being Shinsuke Nakamura's mouthpiece, and I think it is working. Shinsuke, even if he is coming up on a contract year, I don't see him moving because dude's got incredible value as a talent. And, you know, I don't know what else he would have to prove by going elsewhere. Heavy Machinery getting a push right now, which I like those guys. You know, they're comedy, but there's other talents that are on the roster right now that are being wasted. EC3 comes to mind, who I'm a really big fan of his, and you know, they are just absolutely not doing anything with him. But there's other talent that you could point to and say, hey man, you know, these people probably would be better suited being released and going somewhere else because you know the talent level. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's up to them as to, you know, I would say it's up to both parties. You know, are you pitching ideas? Are you throwing stuff against the wall? Mm-hmm. Or are you just showing up hoping that something's written for you with all of the writers that WWE has?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Just saw this number. AEW just lost another 25,000 viewers.
Well, you know what? That's perfect, because that actually goes into our ring count number 3 for tonight, and that actually comes from a site called Den of Geek. And the title.
I prefer Sports Skeeta or Fortune.
Uh huh. Well, hey, you got
nothing from Forbes again this week. Impact? What?
Yeah,
I know.
What's going on with that shit?
I know. You know what? You probably heard you guys talking shit and said I'm not writing for the rest of the year. But don't worry.
Probably.
But from denofgeek.com, they had a their title AEW's numbers are declining on TNT, and they were just questioning why are AEW's viewership numbers declining. I am going to start off with you, Sin City, but one of the quotes in that particular story was, the outlandish storylines are partly to blame, but they think that AEW's reliance on being more, quote, cutting edge, unquote, and extreme has fans wondering if they have a vision for the future. What's so sports-like about wrestler hitting another wrestler with a garbage can? Sin City, let me ask you this. we kind of, I remember we were talking about, of course, when they first started in October, everyone's going to be excited and want to see this product and want to be a part. But one of the things that was mentioned also was, you know, now that people are now having a few weeks in, now have a month in, they're now kind of getting the idea, and now they're deciding to really put their chips where they want it to fall, and it's most likely going back to home, which is probably NXT or WWE. What's your take on this particular story about declining numbers on TNT?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously numbers don't lie. A very smart individual once told me that, and it totally rings true. Numbers don't fucking lie. Their viewership has, I don't want to say steadily gone downhill, but everything finally culminated this past week, where NXT swept AEW in ratings across the board for the very first time. The argument up until that point was made that NXT was only leading the demographic of 50 and up. So it even though it was the quote-unquote former developmental brand of WWE and the cutting-edge brand of WWE, mm-hmm. that it was still the old people's brand. Mm. But that proved to be false, especially this past week, where obviously NXT won in every single demographic. So that's huge. But I think that what really a lot of people were looking forward to was a more sports-like feel to the product.
Yeah.
And when you're releasing multiple storylines that are focusing on dark or supernatural type themes, and you know, I get it. It's fun to do that occasionally, maybe with just one fucking storyline instead of three or four, please. Mm-hmm. So not to mention, you know, they buried their entire babyface roster at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it, to get over an act that has not gotten over with the fans, even in light of having the vignettes as of late, the Dark Order, they've just not been connecting with fans. And I don't know if sacrificing their entire babyface roster to them really will yield them the dividends that they're expecting it to.
Yeah.
Something else that I found really interesting is AEW is getting a lot of blowback from, especially this past episode, Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, actually deleted their Twitter accounts, or at least suspended their Twitter accounts.
Oh.
So that's huge. That's huge. I just from the sheer amount of anger that they were having tossed their direction. So I think that that's really interesting. And obviously, you know, they'll probably point to the fact that, oh, it's right around the holidays and Christmas and blah, blah, blah. But the fact is they made a point of not just, you know, deleting it or suspending it without saying anything. They each posted like almost a farewell type of a tweet. And then subsequently deleted or suspended their Twitter accounts. So I think that is very, very telling. And I genuinely hope that AEW gets back to being the alternative that so many AEW fans thought that they would be, in that being the anti-WWE product. Mm-hmm. As of late, NXT has been the better anti-WWE product. So it's almost like as if NXT noticed what AEW was going to do, took everything to heart, and NXT is using AEW as a blueprint for bettering their own brand and being the antithesis of the main roster brands. It's fucking genius work by the people in NXT.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sucks for AEW. I hope that they can turn the corner, course correct, whatever kind of a cliche term that you want to use, but I hope that they can do this shit quickly because it is not looking promising. And by no means am I going to have the hyperbole and the bullshit of, oh my God, they're going to go out of business in a year, blah, blah, blah. No, I just want them to do what they set out to do and not lose sight of their main mission.
Putting out to WWE out of business?
For fuck's sake.
Hey, King Lucky.
Yes, Michaels, exactly.
Hey, yo. are the fans, man, are they saying, look, I enjoyed it. I've been tuning in when I can, but I think I'm ready to make a solid decision, and I'm going to give that decision over to NXT. What's your take?
Couple things. One, I think it's the perfect storm of WWE writing better TV to rise to the occasion for the competition. Like, if you look at the last probably 3 months now leading up and through Survivor Series, they've wrote better TV with more established stars. Mm-hmm. So Steve kind of mentioned it about, and I've brought it up on the show before, I don't want to see everybody doing dark angles. You got the Dark Order. You got Brandy's thing. You've got, you know, all these different angles that are kind of in the same vein. And so, you know, you're telling stories that, you know, while I think the Dark Order is starting to pay off a little bit, but you're telling so many of the same stories that, you know, quite frankly, they aren't that entertaining. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so NXT, and you take a subpar, you know, Raw or SmackDown, you still got your big stars. So you're like, let me turn over here and see, you know, if I can get something that I like here versus some unknown guys. You know, you're kind of taking a chance on guys that you really don't know. You have Dark Order closing the show. And again, they don't have a main star that is the head of Dark Order. Like, if you had a Darby Allin or somebody, that would make sense. That would be like, oh man, that's pretty cool. But you just got a bunch
of Hangman Page.
Or a Hangman Page, but you got a bunch of these. Who?
The guy in the mask who did the talking.
That one guy.
For all I know, that could be Excalibur. But they don't have a main guy, a face, to put as the leader, like, you know, like I said. And so I think,
like the guy in the mask is not the leader then?
They don't have a wrestler that's the leader.
But he's a wrestler.
Yeah, he ain't a very good one. He ain't a star, I'll tell you that.
But that's the point. See, that's the fucking point. You're supposed to be building the stars.
I agree, but they... Listen, for that group to get over, they have nobody that's recognizable. Right?
So, because they're all wearing masks, of course.
Yeah. But they should have... Do you not agree that they should have a leader?
They do have a leader.
That's not a leader. Whatever, Michaels.
No, that's... But you're missing the whole point of what AEW should be doing. And that
well, they should be building stars. I agree. They should be building stars. But that, to me, that doesn't sell me on the product. It doesn't, when that show ends like that.
So wait, but that doesn't sell you on the product. But at the same time, see, what you want is then a finished product already. This is what pisses me off. This is what is so frustrating with, you know, the way that everyone approaches this shit. It's, you know, they want the fucking polished thing, but yet at the same time, no one fucking stops and goes, it's been 4 months.
Exactly.
And that's why I have a wait and see approach on it. And they, and like I said, they have
done passing things. Judgment on shit, and now you're saying I need to have a wait and see approach.
Yep.
But
that's,
again,
thank you, Steve.
Again, and that's why we all have different opinions, because I would rather see them have, and to be honest with you, Darby Allin isn't established. But to have him as the leader of that group then gets him over.
Yeah, but why? Why don't you develop the guys you already have in this group before you start putting in, you know, 20 or 30 different, pieces who are supposed to be the boss, but you can't find the right fit and whatnot? Develop what you got. You know, this guy in this article says, oh, you know, they had them go out there and beat them up just so a couple jobbers can put on masks.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry. The fact of the matter is to me, you know, the announcers sold the fact that this was their initiation. This is how they got into, you know, being part of the Dark Order. We're just seeing what the whole fucking thing's about. Give it time. That's what it comes down to.
They can keep giving it time and keep letting the ratings keep dropping off. That's fine.
But that's the whole thing, dude. The whole thing is this. You're going to say that the ratings are going to drop off. The Dark Order is not making the fucking ratings drop.
Oh, of course not. But it's a culmination.
Why did you just say something like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're just agreeing with every fucking thing that's being said.
No, what I'm saying is they're not the sole reason for it, but right now they are part of the reason.
They're barely a part. They fucking came in this past week and did that at the end of the show. And then for the last 2 weeks before that, it's been fucking vignettes. That's it. I mean, how are they part of this? You know, if you're going to blame anyone, you got fucking the Bucks and Cody and Omega and Jericho and probably Jericho and probably Jericho to blame, because Jericho's on the show usually about three fucking times every show.
Hey, I have no issue with.
And I mentioned that last week.
Yeah. You have no problem with it, Luck. Of course you do, because he's fucking Chris Jericho.
Right?
He's
a champion.
Le champion.
Well, let me go
if
with...
He was,
go ahead.
If he was on fucking... If he was on WWE, you know, you'd still be watching WWE, you know, his segments. It doesn't matter where that guy goes, you're going to watch. Fact of the matter is, though, is that something that starts getting boring on the company? You know, when you're sitting there watching him and Jack had a good match. You know, They had a really good match. But it's really funny, because I'll tell you right now, if Chris was in WWE, he would not look like that. Mm-hmm. Vince would not stand for him to have my stomach.
So let me ask you, Michaels, why you've pretty much went over most, but what would be, quickly, you tell me, what would be your take on maybe why the viewership numbers are declining from this point?
Well, I think, you know, the fact of the matter is we're at a point where it's holiday time. It's football time, and there's other priorities and focuses. And the other thing that you got to start realizing that product is not going to always be in the high end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not always going to have these huge numbers, because it's not Raw, it's not SmackDown. It's not a show that has been built over 20 plus years. It's 4 months fucking old.
Right.
So people are going to tune out and tune in and tune out and tune in.
Yeah.
It just, it happens. And the fact of the matter is that at this point, you know, to say, oh my God, they're losing number again. It's creating a bullshit thing about this concept of this wanting this, you know, this Wednesday night war. It's like, it's bullshit. They're not in competition with the WWE. They're in competition with them fucking selves right now. Build your fucking company. Find out who you are.
Yeah.
And then guess what? In 3 years, then maybe you will be pulling huge ratings. But the fact of the matter is that even WCW, if they didn't turn around with Bischoff, that company was going under. And if you want to take away the NWA portion of it, you know, let's just call it WCW from when they took over, when Turner bought it. The fact of the matter is that when Bischoff came in and took it over, in 3 years or 4 years that that company existed, they almost were fucking bankrupt. They were almost under.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like the, you know, I think everyone was just assuming that when you come in, it's going to be, they're going to be NWO hot. And yeah. The fact of the matter is that right now they're a young company. They are literally, except for the money, they are TNA in Nashville. Because that's where they're at in their development, man.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the other thing. We just talked about TNA has been around for a long time. You know, is it a success story if AEW might not have millions of viewers every fucking week, but if they can last 10 to 15 to 20 years, is that a success story? Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are good points, man.
I know, because I said them.
Well, maybe they'll, just to go ahead and end it all, maybe, you know, this week where they have to, I guess the show is...
Wait. Well, let me guess. At the end of the episode, the Dark Order is going to come out. And this would be next year, of course, because they got to take the Christmas Carol break off for Christmas
and
story here.
And that's the part I was about to say. Yeah, they got the Christmas story that's coming on this week. So they're definitely going to have to remind everyone in the new year to that, hey, we're back.
No, I'm gonna tell you what's going to happen. Uh-huh. According, because I just got this, Lucky just texted me.
Okay.
That at the end of the episode, the first one in January.
Okay.
The Dark Order is going to come into the ring.
Okay.
And then the main guy is going to pull off his mask. It's going to be CM Punk.
Whatever, bro. What a stroker.
Oh, my God. Well, guys, that's the three count for the night. I mean, everyone had a lot to say, man, because that went on exactly an hour. So, good job, guys. We're just going to talk a few things that happened during the week and upcoming. Sin City Steve, it's hard to keep up with WWE and and AEW, let alone New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh, shit.
But apparently this Wrestle Kingdom 14 is coming up pretty soon, and it seems to be a pretty good card. I want you to kind of go over it and tell me what you what you think.
Yeah, man. So Wrestle Kingdom 14, as always, is going to be taking place January 4th, but also this year, January 5th, at the Tokyo Dome in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
So New Japan, this is the first year that they are splitting their biggest show of the year into two dates, something that people have have wanted or asked or, mm-hmm. you know, petitioned WWE to do with WrestleMania rather than having it be 8+ hours in one sitting.
Right.
So yeah, they're going to have, shows on the 4th and the 5th of January. There are a couple of things that really, really stand out.
Okay.
Obviously you've got, a match that I am thoroughly looking forward to. You've got Jon Moxley,
mm-hmm.
Challenging for the IWGP United States Championship against friend of the show, Lance Archer, Lance Hoyt.
Mm.
Go back and listen to his episode. It was a little while ago.
Yeah.
A long time before he did gain the IWGP United States Championship. But those two guys are going to be competing in a Texas death match.
Uh-oh.
And the rules of the match stipulate that the match can only be won by 10 count knockout or submission.
Okay.
So no pinfalls, none of that shit. So that's going to be awesome. Also, you've got a match that could steal the show for sure. Will Ospreay, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship on the line against Hiromu Takahashi.
Okay.
Obviously, this is huge because Takahashi had a really, really horrific neck injury a couple mm-hmm. of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
People wondered if he would ever be back in a New Japan ring. He's come back, and this is the biggest stage where he can compete against the current champion, the aerial assassin Will Ospreay.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you've got in the main event, you've got Kazuchika Okada. Putting his IWGP Heavyweight Championship on the line against Matt Michaels' favorite
okay.
New Japan wrestler. I'm talking about Kota Ibushi.
Ah.
No, actually, I'm wrong. I apologize. DJ Impact, that is your favorite
yes.
New Japan professional wrestler, Kota Ibushi. The man with a different pronunciation of his
favorite.
Last name every episode where we discuss him.
My favorite is... Yikatami Hakamana.
Oh, actually, he is on the show on the 5th.
No.
So the thing is, on the 5th, you've got a match of two legends. You've got Chris Jericho returning to New Japan,
mm-hmm.
Going against Hiroshi Tanahashi. So
there you go.
Who knows how that match is going to go. I would like to believe that it's going to be good, but given Jericho's work rate and his the response to his matches as of late, and Michaels, you brought it up in passing earlier, you have to wonder if his conditioning is up there. I genuinely hope that these guys deliver, but also realistically, one of the kind of landmark things about this January 5th show is that you've got Jushin Thunder Liger competing in his final match as a professional wrestler. Jushin Thunder Liger has been around for fucking ever.
Yeah.
The guy's 55 years old.
Man.
He's still doing crazy shit in the ring. Obviously not nearly what he did back in his prime, but... the guy's wrestled over 4,000 matches, and he debuted in 1984, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
1984. So he's hanging it up January 5th, 2020, in the Tokyo Dome, as it should be. So that'll be cool. And you've also got, in the main event of the 5th, you've got a singles match with the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, going against the IWGP Intercontinental Champion,
okay.
whoever that might be.
Yeah.
So they're not really sure, obviously, because titles can change hands
mm-hmm.
The night before. So it could be really interesting. I'm sure that we'll talk about it
yes.
after the show happens.
Right.
But yeah, should be pretty solid.
Awesome, man. Thanks for that update. We appreciate it. We'll definitely talk about it in the beginning of the new year. King Lucky, just get together your thoughts about Raw, SmackDown, NXT, or AEW for this past week. But before that, let me get over to Matt Michaels. Killer Cross, his first big match is going to be for MLW on February 1st. And then there's also these rumors going around saying that WWE is trying to do everything to sign him as well. I want you to kind of give us an update. What's your take on anything you may be hearing about Killer Cross, or just what's your opinion about, you know, where he should start, or his success in either one of the two promotions?
Well, from what I understand it, he don't live in Vegas anymore.
Mm.
Take that as you will.
Yeah.
He also, his better half is training somewhere. I don't know. I think it's called Orlando or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and MLW, they work out of Florida.
There you go. Yeah.
Maybe all things are pointing towards something happening in Florida over the next few months. But he's a free man.
Are you pretty excited, period? Just the fact not only he's free, but the chances of, that you'll get a chance to either see him, for MLW or WWE?
Well, obviously, we'll get a chance to see him for MLW. So, I mean, yeah, it'd be interesting to see him, you know. The one thing, though, that you got to remember, too, is he's also wrestled, you know, on these different cards all over the country for the last how many months that he was dealing with the Impact thing. So, I mean, MLW, really all it is just kind of a little bit of a step up. You know, the big thing is he has to sign with NXT for it to really get interesting in terms of seeing how much he progresses, because, you know, as good as he is, he would definitely benefit from having some of the advice and getting some of the training that you get down there, which could be the difference between being a very good performer in hand as he is now and being potentially someone who has enough in terms of everything that he could transfer into potentially being, you know, a movie star or something like that, you know, that next level transition. But I think he's come a long way. He's still young in the business, and he's on the verge, if he, you know, gets the right opportunity to study with these guys at the Performance Center, then he could go to really a next level, which, you know, would be interesting to see, and would also be another example of how Impact fucked up.
Yeah. Let me ask you, when he goes, so let's say WWE picks him up, and now I doubt they're going to keep the name Killer Cross. They're going to probably change the name to something else, but...
Oh, it'll probably be like Slappy Finkelstein or something.
Exactly. But I mean, doesn't in some way that would kind of play against the hype that his name right now has going into, you know, if they were just allowed him to have that name and keep that into WWE?
Well, I think it just comes down to a simple fact, and that is if you look at a guy like Robert De Niro, he's been in gangster movies, but he's also been in comedies.
Yeah.
So, you know, honestly, it really doesn't matter as much as, listen, Tyler Black, you know, fans, DJ, do you know who Tyler Black was or is?
I'm familiar with a name, but I can't put a face to it.
But he's a popular wrestler now.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll
You'll find out at some point, DJ. You work it up.
Hey, let me tell you something. I have been one of the ones that's never went out to learn wrestler's real name. So, perfect example.
Okay, so
the Undertaker is always the Undertaker. So if you go and you use Undertaker's real name, I'll be like, I don't know who that is. I don't.
No. You're missing the point. So your whole thing was, does Killer Cross lose his value if he changes his name? Tyler Black was a huge name on the independent circuit, kind of like Cross, okay? But his name was changed in the WWE, and now you don't know who Tyler Black is, but you know who Seth Rollins is, right?
Right.
So that would be the same thing with Cross. You just happen to know Cross before seeing him in WWE.
Right.
Most of the things that you're familiar with are WWE oriented in birth,
right?
So I don't think it costs them anything. In fact, it's a breath of fresh air. Like you turn the page, now you can start it with something totally new.
Yeah,
and all these new fans that see you will only have that impression of the character for you.
I got it.
Yeah, he'll just go by the name Kyler Cross.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man!
Spell it the exact same way.
Yeah, or like Kevin Kloss. Oh, they can make him like Kloss, like Santa Claus, like his younger brother.
And that'd be a good tie-in for Scarlett too. Why not?
Right? Yeah. Oh yeah.
This is Kloss.
Exactly.
King Lucky, man, I'm going to turn it over to you, man. Anything that, any highlights you want to talk about from these past week television shows?
Well, definitely the biggest highlight was Rhea Ripley winning the championship, the NXT championship this week. You know, Shayna had an incredible run as a champion, and you just kind of wondered who was going to be able to top her. And it seemed like from the beginning, Rhea Ripley was going to get that, you know, that spot. So yeah. It was a huge moment for her.
Yeah.
And I think that was, you know, that was kind of the biggest order or the biggest, you know, news of this week outside of the Killer Cross stuff.
Yeah.
And wrestling. Overall, Raw's... Raw was decent. I mean, it didn't have an end to the gauntlet match, but, you know, whatever. Thought the show was all right.
Yeah.
SmackDown, Daniel Bryan came out as the clean-cut baby. But, again, the biggest spot of the week was definitely Rhea Ripley winning the belt.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, we have completed a year of podcasting. I think this is going to be episode 85, maybe. I mean, that's a lot of
damn
recording in the year.
And for anyone listening, please, that doesn't mean, even though that this is our last one of the year where we're giving our opinions and thoughts, you're still going to see a couple episodes coming out with some interviews for the next 2 weeks. So please don't ignore those.
Absolutely. Because this is just the end of our doing our podcast, as we're going to be spending next weekend, well, this week and then weekend with family and friends during the holiday. So I'm going to pass it to each one of you to give your final thoughts just for the year, for the season, to the listeners and all, and then we'll call it a show. So let me start again with you, King Lucky. What would you like to say on our final show of the year?
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right. For me, I really want to thank every listener from all of the countries this year. In the last 12 months, we've actually had a global reach into roughly about 20 plus countries, and a lot that are unknown. And it's just really humbling to have everybody join us on this journey. The talent that have invested time with us, because we were virtually unknown, I came out of nowhere, but the talent that has given us a shot and let us, you know, kind of interview them. So from the bottom of my heart, and I'm sure the rest of the guys share the same sentiment, we really appreciate everyone's support. And if you're a talent out there and you haven't been on the show yet, it ain't over. 2020 is going to be a bigger year. So we want to talk to you, and we thank you guys for listening.
Absolutely. Sin City Steve, man, what's your Hallmark card for the show?
Aw, so nice. No, as King Lucky had just mentioned, I wanna thank everybody that has invested their time and into the cause, whether that's listening to the show, whether that's spreading the word about the show, whether that's being on the show, whether that's going to any of the live shows. This past year has been awesome, in the truest sense of the word. It's been amazing, and I just want to say thank you to every single person that's listened to one episode, that's listened to every episode, that mm-hmm. subscribed, all that happy horse shit. Thank you so much. Yeah. And yeah, thank you to everybody in all of the countries that we've penetrated. Oh, wait. Well, anyway. yeah, anyway, all of the countries that we have penetrated, the best is yet to come. So stay tuned, and 2020 it's going to be awesome. And, you know, everybody likes to say, new year, new me. Fuck that. New decade. Same dickhead. That's me. I'll see you guys next year.
No doubt. Matt Michaels, man, what's your season greetings?
Yeah, this episode has been really fucking long. So, happy holidays, y'all.
No doubt. And in my final words, just to piggyback on everyone else, we definitely just enjoyed and want to thank everyone for definitely listening to us, and let's just continue to do it just as big next year as well. So with that, you all take it easy. Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year's. Continue to check out the last couple of shows we have for the year. They're really good interviews, so you want to take a listen to those as well. Feel free to still message us, send us emails. Any ideas, thoughts that come to your mind, let us know, okay?
Slide into those DMs.
That's right. Slide right in. All right. And with that, we'll see you next year. Take care. Later.
Bad Boys of Podcasting.